Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now Wednesday, and we have come together to explore the Word of God together with Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. I am your host, Diane Adams, and as always, it's a privilege and an honor that God has allowed us to come together week after week, exploring the Word together, being fed in the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Ghost to give us illumination and revelation. When we explore the Word to God, we listen to God speaking, and we get to know God for ourselves. So our lesson tonight, which most of you may know, is coming from Psalms 139. The book of Psalms 139. And our topic for today is, God doesn't make mistakes. It's all a part of His master plan. As always, before we get into the lesson, we always enter the throne of grace with prayer. And as always, I ask if anyone would like to lead us in prayer. If you do, you may now press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic, and you could lift up the prayer. I have one caller that's pressed the button. Really, I have two callers. So we're going to be graced with two prayers on the night. So right now, caller, your number is 504-421-44. Your mic is now open.
Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdrew thyself from me, Lord, where shall I go? Tonight, my Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord, because I was feeling good today, Lord. I was able to take my mama out today, Lord, spend time with my daughter, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to open our hearts to receive your word tonight, Lord. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, because you know I've been going through a storm, Lord, but only you can keep me, Lord. And you kept me. You never left me, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, just love us like you never loved us before, Lord. Bless my family, Lord. Bless everybody that's listening. Bless all the sick and shedding all over this land, Lord. Lord, we love you and we can't do without you, Lord. Lord, continue to lead and guide us to do your holy will, Lord. Because Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Lord, continue to guide, lead, and strengthen us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. All these blessings I ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I just want to thank you. This is Sister Cynthia Sanders.
Yes.
I just want to thank you for that prayer and bringing us to the throne of grace.
You're welcome.
And I thank God that you are doing better and feeling better. Because
thank
God
you,
said he will take care of you.
Yes, he will.
And I thank you for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
We also have another button pressed by Madison Chambers, and I'm going to open the mic for him at this time. Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to say anything to the listeners tonight?
Yes.
Go ahead.
God, thank you for this day that people are able to tune in this Wednesday and listen to things about you and that they have enough time to actually do things with you, God. Thank you, God. Allow them should not be sleepy and to learn about you with open eyes and don't get tired, because when you're tired, your brain doesn't function as well as when you're awake. Please be with them and make sure nothing harms them while they listen to things about you, God. Please, and please don't have anything harm my grandma while she's doing this program, God. Please. And please be with them that their ears open up wide so you can get the full message, God. Please. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Madison. Madison Andrew Chambers, my beloved grandson. It's always a privilege to hear him pray. Thank you, Madison, and you be blessed. So right now, what we usually do in the program is play a song. The last 2 weeks, Elyria Mackey from Boothville, Louisiana, have graced us with her gifted voice from God. And I didn't speak to her before now to know if she would like to lead a song. But Elyria, if you would like to lead us in a song, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll play a song. So you could just decide whichever one you want to do. And maybe if you don't want to do the opening one, you may consider doing one at the end. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play this song. And once we play the song, we're going to go straight into the Word of God. And I thought this song was appropriate because they said, "Nothing without you. I'm nothing without you." And I think it correlates with the lesson. Listen and be blessed.
No sun, no moon, no stars, no clouds, no day or night. Nothing is right if I don't have. I have no hills, no mountains, no valleys or plains, no plateaus. Nothing goes if I don't. No amount of anything can replace the joy you bring. I have nothing if I don't have you. Oh, there is no joy, no peace, no love for me, no one to care unconditionally. If I don't have you, oh, oh, I have no life, no death, no air to breathe, not even a single thing to feel. Oh, oh, if I don't have you, oh, you gave me everything I'd ever need. Oh, ever since you've been a part of my life, yeah. Oh, my whole world has changed. Oh, you see, there's nothing undone. There are no battles that are unwon, no burdens that we cannot overcome. You are the beginning. You will surely be the last. Oh, my whole world starts and ends with you. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. Oh, there is nothing that can take your place. I think about all you've done for me, how you came and made my life complete. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, oh, without you, Lord, I surely would have died. I have nothing, absolutely positively nothing.
Beautiful song. I see that Illyria has pressed the one button on her phone.
I ain't even ate.
Illyria?
Yeah.
Would you like to sing a song?
I was pressing the one button. It wouldn't come through.
Well, it did come through. It finally came through. So you want to do one at the end or you want to do it now?
I can do it at the end.
All right. We're going to go ahead with the lesson. And then Illyria is going to grace us with her gifted voice. So as we go in the lesson, a lot of callers has called in. So I want you to know that we are coming from the Book of Psalms, and I text the book of the Bible with the chapter that it was going to come from, and it was going to be Psalms 139. So I pray that everybody had enough time and they read the scriptures and they pondered over them. And as we go through the scriptures tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to illuminate what you were meditating on and thinking about. But the title of our lesson is God Doesn't Make Mistakes. It's all a part of his master plan. And as always, I do background on a person, place, or thing. And since the writer of this psalm is David, we're going to explore him for a little while and then go into the scripture. I want to start off by saying we could learn a lot from the life of David. We are first introduced to David after Saul became king at the insistence of the people. You see, this choice of king, or even having an earthly king at all, was against the will of God. God wanted them to realize that he was their king. You see, all the other nations had kings, and all of the other people had kings that ran kingships and ruled over the people. But God was the ruler of the Jews, his chosen people, his perfect nation that he had designed for his glory. You see, God didn't make no mistakes, and he gave the people what they wanted. You see, even us in our lives, we should line our wants up with the will of God, because you might just get what you asked for and realize that is not what you wanted. And sometimes not what you needed. While King Saul was making one mistake on top of another, you know, if we say it in the, if we describe him in today's terms, we would have to say that he was a hot mess. So God sent Samuel, the prophet, to find his chosen king. And he sent him to the house of Jesse. See, God allowed them to have Saul as their king. By God knowing everything, he knew that Saul wasn't going to make it. And in his master plan before the foundation of the world, he had decided that David would come next and would be the king he chose. You see, God knew that Saul was the people's choice, not his choice, would fail, and he had a perfect plan for the right season and the right reason ready and waiting. You know, God do and disperse things on at seasons and different times, and God have everything designed and know everything that is needed and has decided to do everything that is necessary, but in his own time. You see, God plans are our best plans, and he doesn't make mistakes. You see, Jesse had 8 sons, and he made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said that the Lord had not chose any one of them. And it was strange, and Samuel was wondering what was going on, because he knew if God sent him there, that the next king and the one he would have to anoint with the oil should have been there, but all 7 passed Samuel, and none of them was the one. So Samuel thought that because the way the sons look, you see, they was tall, good-looking, and handsome. God, in the beginning, Samuel thought that one of these was the right one. Because, you see, Samuel looked at the outward, but God looks at the heart. You see, Samuel realized that there had to be another. Jesse said, I have a son, and his name is David, who is a shepherd, my youngest boy. He you know, even his dad said, you know, he's just rough and tough, you know, he's dirty, he's smelly, and I tell you, he's nothing to look at. But the Lord said to Samuel, anoint him, for this is he. You see, this is a good thing to let us know. What God has for you is for you. And God, in his ultimate wisdom, don't do things like we do, or think like we do, or act like we do, because he's God. So David came in. Samuel took the oil, anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And if y'all want to look these things up, you can start in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and you can read all what happened. You see, David was believed to be either between 12 and 17 years of age when he was called in from tending his father's sheep to be anointed as the true king of Israel. As soon as the anointing oil flowed down David's head, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. So what this telling us, did Saul lose his anointing? You know, sometimes people is anointed for a reason, for one specific reason, a specific season, a specific time, or a specific place. But as soon as David was anointed, the Spirit of God departed from King Saul. You see, Saul was pleased with young David for what he could do for him. You see, the evil spirit that was troubling Saul, he would get David. You know, David played the music and dance and all. And when the spirit would be troubling Saul, he would call in David, and David would soothe his mind. But this feeling vanished quickly as David rose in strength to slay the Philistine giant Goliath. The winning and overwhelming favor of the people towards David. They even made up a chant in the camp of Saul, was taunting as the people sang out the praises of David and demeaned their king, causing a rage of jealousy in Saul, and it never subsided. You see, David's life was filled with continuous battle, even though he was anointed and appointed by God. He had much strife in his life, being hated by others and even his son. He dealt with much conflict. Although Saul never stopped pursuing David with the intent to kill him, David never raised a hand against the king who God has anointed. See, you don't have to fight all of these battles. You don't have to get everybody straight. You don't have to have to tell people off. You know, David let Saul be Saul as he walked in his anointing. He did, however, raise up a mighty army with power from God, defeating everyone in his path, always asking God first for permission and instruction before going into battle. You know, sometime at work, you say, when I go to work tomorrow, I know this is going to be a hard day because of maybe something has happened. Do you take and go to God for permission and directions and making a decision? Do you bring God into to all of your decision-making? Do you bring God into to the realm where there's something that's troubling going on? You see, David always went to God before going into battle. We should always ask for God's permission and instruction when making decisions in our lives. Throughout the life of David, God honored and rewarded this unconditional obedience of his servant and gave him success in everything he did. Now, you see, David was anointed, and we hear the word anointing a lot. But I came to tell you tonight that you are the anointed one. You see, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were anointed with the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. So all of us are anointed. Some are anointed for this, some are anointed for that. You see, when God made each and everyone and he created us in this world, God created everybody for his pleasure. And what he did, he gave different ones of us different skills and talents and abilities and experience. You know, a lot of times people don't realize that they you know, God even give you a life experience. Sometimes you might have said, wow, I had it so hard in this here area. But that hardness that you had there, what was necessary to take you to where God wanted you to be. You see, plenty of times we think we going through when things not going the way we want it to go. Oh, we going through, but it's not always going through. It's sometimes God bringing you to where he wants you to be, and he used those life experiences. So thank God for your life experiences as well, because it had a purpose in your life. You see, David mourned the death of King Saul when he died. And he had to fight many battles before he became king over the house of Judah. And even then he had to fight against the house of Saul before being anointed again king over Israel at the age of 30. You see, now David is king. David conquered Jerusalem and became more and more powerful because the Almighty God was with him. You see, we must realize that we are in a spiritual warfare and must fight for what is ours. But you can't fight for what is yours if you don't know what God has promised you, and if you don't know what he has promised you, because maybe you haven't visited and studied the word of God. You see, the promises of God for you is in the word of God. If we look at a wheel, you know, they say the will of God. You know, we hear that all the time, the will of God. Let's just take and put it in the natural. A will is a contract. It's a covenant that a person writes that lists everything that they own and everything they want to give. That's a will. But you see, before a will can be opened up, the testator, which is the person that wrote the will, has to die. You see, so when God wrote the Bible, 66 books, the Old Testament, 39 books. The New Testament, 27 books. He designed and wrote and inspired men to write down what he wanted to say for his people and to his people for reproof and instruction and correction. You see, the will of God is listed in the Bible, and the Old Testament, the Testament, you know when they write a last will and testament, Old Testament, and now we in the New Testament, God will in the Old and God will in the New. But everything that God has for you is listed in that will. Now, the will couldn't be bust open and read until someone had to die. And you see, Jesus was that someone that went to Calvary, and he died on the cross, and he was buried, and 3 days he rose because he's only the true and living God. So when Jesus rose, the will is bust open, and all of the promises of God is in there for you. You got to go into the Word of God, study it for yourself, study to show yourself approved. Look what God says to you and for you. And then you go into warfare and you fight for what's yours. And we have to equip ourselves with the full armor of God, because you see, the weapons of this world is carnal. You see, we walk around fighting with carnal weapons. But put on the whole armor of God and the things of God, and you fight in this war. There's evil and there's good. There's light and there's dark. And they so far from each other on a rectum that there's no way they could get along. You see, that's why Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're going to always have conflict. You see, David wanted to build a temple for God, because you see, the temple was destroyed and when the people was captured. And because of his bloody, battle-scarred records, as well as his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and the slaying of her husband. You see, God denied this otherwise faithful servant the honor. So when you look at that, you see the mishaps of David and the faults of David and the sins of David and the shortcomings of David and David's failure. You see, what happened, he wasn't allowed to build a temple, and this was the consequences. And the actions. This was the consequences of his sin. And this was the actions that they produced. That's how it is in our life. We save. But when we decide to do what is disobedient and don't follow the will of God, we have consequences for our actions. Jesus said, I died for your sins, but you're going to have to live with your consequences. This was surely a true blow for David. But God assured him, come on now, watch this, that he would continue to make his name the greatest on earth and forever establish the throne of David through David's son Solomon. Now, you see, if God said that, whatever God say, you can put your bottom dollar on it that is going to come to pass. Everything God is doing here for Abraham, for David was because of the promise he made to Abraham. Find your promises in the Word of God. Not only what he promised for you, but what he promised for your seeds and what he promised for your family and what he promised for your business and what he... Find out the promises of God for your life. You see, if God said it, like I say, it will come to pass. And I came to tell you tonight that your mistakes, and we could see it right here with David, your mistakes cannot cancel your future. So if you're walking around with that mistake and condemnation about what you did that you shouldn't have did, and if you didn't do it and you're holding your head down, you know, the Bible saying in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. Hold your head up high. Repent. Go to God. Love on God. Turn around and go on in Jesus' name. You see, David's battles did not end with his kingship, but continue with the surrounding nations within and even in his own household. You see, David's son, Absalom, inspired to take control of the kingdom. And he, as Saul, threatened to kill David. David was constantly on the run, living in caves most of the time, being alone. You know, David's broken heart and humble spirit are what brought him to forgiveness, to the forgiveness of God, and will bring him back to be the Prince of Christ during Christ's millennium. You see, God said that Jesus would come from the lineage of David, and David would have a special place in the kingdom. Come on now. And you see, if you look up the different names for Jesus, he's also called the Son of David. And he's David because he's from the line of David. And that's what's happening. So we have to remember that. And we have to you know, pay attention to that. Because if God said it, he will definitely do it. And Jesus is from the line of David. And God said he would be. And he's going to reign with Jesus. So we have to keep that in mind. So that's just a little bit on David. And David, of course, is the writer of the psalm that we're going in. And we're going to go in it and we're going to be blessed. So if we look at scripture number one. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. This David talking. I thought David was one of the, was, you know, God inspired each man to write what he had them to write in the Bible. And I think David was a perfect one to write this particular psalm. Because, you see, David had a lot of experience with God. And he saw God moving, working, and being in his life. But he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts for all. He's saying, God, you got this. Thou compassest my pad and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. There's nothing about you God doesn't know. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, that knoweth it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. He said, you know, everything that was happening in his life, you know, no matter how terrible it was, you know, when he sat down and meditate and look back over, you know, the experience of the trial or the tribulation, he could see the hand of God upon him. Can you see the hand of God upon you and the things that's going on in your life? And then on verse 6, he said, such knowledge, you know, God, how you could just do all of this and be all of this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. You see, when David looked over his life, it amazed him, and he realized that God had been in total control. See, you can realize that God is in control, or you don't have to realize it, but that's not going to make God not be in control. God is the creator. And God is in control of everything. And nothing in this life can happen unless God orchestrated or allow it. David was the perfect person to talk about the awesomeness of God because he could see God's hand throughout his life working it out for his good. David understood that it was not all about him, but it was all about God. When you realize that in your life, that's when you could begin to hold on to the confession of your faith. Be patient. Hold on to your joy. Protect your heart and your mind with due diligence because you know God got it because God is in total control. You see, at an early age, David was minding his business. He was tending to his sheep. his seven brothers was inside, he was outside, and he was all right with that, being with his sheep. He wasn't looking for God, but look what happened. God came looking for him. You see, that's the way with us. None of us went looking for God. God came looking for us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Plenty of times I know people have told me they was in church and heard the message go forth, and before they realized, they had walked up to the altar. It wasn't their intentions, but God came looking for them, and the Holy Ghost gave them an invitation, and they accepted, and the rest became history. You see, in these verses, David expressed that God is all-knowing, which is one of God's attributes called omniscient. See, you got to know the attributes of God. You know, and what that means, omniscient means, omniscient means all-knowing. But, we will never fully understand God's will and his way, because God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for whom he wants, because he is God all by himself. So we should always trust him no matter what state we are in. God has revealed himself to us through his word and has given us enough evidence of who he is. He has allowed us to know his attribute, omniscient, all-knowing. Another attribute, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. And omnipotent, all-power. There is no other person or God that possesses this. He is the only true and living God. God have a master plan, and it was before the foundation of the world. You see, everything that God wanted to be and was going to be was all in God. And as the book of Genesis opened up and he spoke, everything that would be was. Hallelujah. And you was included. You see, before the foundation of the world, by him being all-knowing, he decided who you would be, how you would be, and even why you would be this or that. You see, God created everything for his glory and is using everything he created to achieve that goal. Can God use you to give him glory? Or are you giving glory with your resources, your talents, and your time? God created all of his creatures for his glory. You see, for God to be sovereign over his creation of all things, whether visible or invisible, he has to be all-knowing. Now, some people say, if God knows everything, why should I do this or why should I do that? He knows everything. He's not making the decisions for you. But because he knew everything from the beginning, from before the beginning, all the way through eternity, he knew what you was going to do. He knew how you was going to do it. He even knew by searching your heart why you would do some of the things you do. And in that, it's all a part of working it out together for our good. You see, the creator of something has to know everything about his creation. That's why you will never know who you are until you know who your maker is. That's why there's so many people walking around looking for the love in the wrong place, and because they don't feel love, they don't think they deserve to be loved, and they don't truly know what love is because they haven't become intimate with their maker. God knows everything about you, your good, your bad, and your ugly. And he is right there in the middle of all of this. How can I say that? Because the scripture says, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can depend on these words. He's right there with you. There's another scripture that says he's our present help. How can he be your present help if he's not there every time you need it? So that proves he's omniscient. He knows it all. It proves that he is omnipresent because he said, I'm your present help. Why every stage and every step in your life God can meet you? Because he know where you're going to be, and he's everywhere at the same time. And he come fully equipped with power, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. There's nothing that can happen to you that takes God by surprise. Believe it. If we go to accept the seventh verse, they say, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Come on now, y'all. 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall come over me, even the night shall be light about me. And 12, yea, the darkness hideth me from thee, but the night shining as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, God can do what he needs to do. Darkness don't stop him. And he said, wherever you go, he's there. If you go to hell, he's there. If you go to the deepest part of the sea, he's there. You see, that's why I say he's the only living God. You know, there are some people who worship other gods. Like if you're worshiping a calf, a golden calf, the calf can't talk, it can't walk, it can't deliver. And then, you know, there's a lot of times when people be worshiping Buddha and they make it out of clay or mud and it's sitting there, you know, the little fat thing just sitting there with his stomach out with that big grin on his face, you know. But plenty of times if some rain come in and the water get on him, he dissolves. You know, the Muslim worship Allah, you know, Muhammad Allah, and he's dead stinking in his grave. And I'm not saying it to be disrespectful, but you see, the grave couldn't hold Jesus. He's a true and living God. You see, here we see that David expresses the attributes omnipresence of God. He is everywhere at the same time. There is nowhere you can go where God is not there. There is no place in your life where God is not there to help, deliver, heal, and to love on you. If we look at 13, 14, 15, and 16, it says, for thou possessest my rind, my reins, and thou covered, this is the one, y'all, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now that's deep. So don't think you just God just came in your life. Maybe, you know, a year ago when you got saved. He said, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thy eyes seen my substance, yet being unperfect, in the book of all members are written, which is the continuance where the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there are none of them. You know, he's talking about in this little thing too, when God covered him in his mother's womb, when he first, you know, it would be the egg and the egg connect with the seed, and, you know, it was you know, first it was nothing and then it was something. When he was fashioning you, he knew like your arms and your legs, you know. That's how you might have long legs and I have short legs and my eyes are blue, but your eyes are brown. And, you know, God was doing that. He was sculpting, you know, he had you in his hand like a potter had the clay. And he made each one of us unique. And there are no twos of us. And if you ever find two of any of us, one of them is not necessary. And then the other part is he made us unique, short, tall. But I'm saying this, that God didn't make no mistakes. You know, people in today's world is going to try to change everything about themselves. But what it was about them and how God created them, it was not a mistake. But you see, Satan has put the blinders on and vanity has come in and everybody trying to be like everybody else because Satan tricked their mind and made it their reality, made it their, he put the perception, they biting into the perception, and now it's becoming a reality. Their lips got to look like everybody's lips. Their hips got to twist like everybody else. Satan got you so twisted that you have lost your identity. You have lost your uniqueness. You have lost your beauty. God doesn't make mistakes. The way he made you was the way he wanted you to be. And for that, we should give him the praise. You see, here David expressed the attributes omnipotent. You see, every person has some degree of power, but only God has unlimited power. God knew you before you were you and had the power to create what he wanted you to be for his glory. By his power, he created each one of us with an intended purpose, and with his power provided all provisions necessary for us to accomplish it. You see, if God wants you to give him certain kind of glory, he's given the provisions for you to do it. He's setting it up for you to do it. God don't set you up to fail, and he don't leave you, never leave you stuck out. God has never asked you to do something that he haven't provided and made a way for it. You might not know it, and I believe when we get to the prepared place that Jesus prepared for us, some people seem to believe we're going to be able to ask questions. And I could tell you one thing. You could go in there and say, God, why you didn't da-da-da-da, or why you didn't do thus and so. God say, I did it. It was right there in front of your face. You didn't get it. You see what I'm saying? God has done the work. God has put everything in place for us to live a righteous life. There may have been days that we were hungry, but we never starved. God has done everything, put it in place, necessary for you. But you have to believe it. Here it talks about in a mother's womb how God fearfully and wonderfully made each of us unique and design you special in your mother's womb. Come on, now, that's a reason to love on God. God knew you're visible even when you were invisible. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, before you became a seed in your daddy's groin. Come on, now. God knew you when you was invisible. You see, you didn't get to pick your parents. And your parents didn't have the opportunity to pick you. But I'm going to just tell you this now. God doesn't make mistakes. Learn to work with what you have. Your family is your family. God orchestrated and allowed that to be. He did it for a reason. He did it with an intended purpose. And really and truly, the family we have is what we have. Just as David was anointed to be king, you are anointed to be all that God has designed you to be. No mistakes. God is everywhere watching over us, molding and shaping us into his intended design purpose. But you got to trust him. Remember this, you are not an afterthought of God. But even before the beginning, before the womb, and even after the tomb, God will be with you right there. You can't ask for no more than that. God was with you before you entered the womb. And he's going to be with you even after the tomb. And he's going to reign and be with you all through eternity. And I want to let you know some of the promises that God has in his will for us in our lives. Some of them are going to be accomplished on this side. But some of them is going to be accomplished on the other side. When Jesus said, I'm a healer, he meant that. You could be healed on this side or when we get our new glorified bodies. It's all going to come to pass because if God said it, he's going to do it. And remember, all of your blessings is not on this side. Some of them are waiting for you. And 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. Should count them, if I should count them, they are more than the numbers in the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. You see, David recognized and understood Jeremiah 29:11. You see, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And look what he said, to give you an expected end. Are you working towards an expected end? Have you decided what you want your end to look like? As you walk through this life, you see, God desires and blessings are too much for us to comprehend because he keeps blessing us over and over and over again. And then Jesus paid the price and all to him we owe. You see, God have a wonderful plan for our lives. But we must be in position to receive them. Come on now. God did the work. All you put in position to receive it. God has ordained it, but you must believe it to achieve it. And if I go with 19, they say, surely will thou slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take my name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Then he says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked in me, and lead me to the way of righteousness. That should be our prayer every day. And when David was talking that, he was not giving a message of hatred. When the Bible speaks like that and people say hate like that, he was expressing his displeasure with evildoers. You see, we are to hate the sin, but we have to love the people. We are in the world, but we should not be of this world, because this world is represented by flesh. David said, I hate the way they disrespect you, God. You know, I hate them keep committing sins over and over, not repenting and turning. So he wasn't saying a message of hate. I hate them so personally, but he hated the way they were living and the sins they was committed and the way they, you know, dishonored God. You see, and I'm going to close with this. Because God know what choices you will make and know what he has placed in you before the foundation of the world. He is constantly molding you into his intended purpose. But we have to cooperate. You see, once we make the commitment to follow Christ, we say and we learn then. You know, everybody talking about we free moral agents. You see, once we accept Christ and we understand his omnipotence, omnipresent, and omnipotence, and he's in total control and he's working it out for our good, once we understand that, we no longer be worrying about our will, because we say, Lord, not my will, but your will. You're giving it up. Everything that God has given you, sometime you give it back to him. I have so many people and friends and people I know that say, you know, I had to put my children on the altar and I had to give them back to Christ. We're not trying to, you know, once we meet Christ and we understand who he is, we want his will to be done in our life, because that's the perfect will. You know, if we go by our will, we'll get in a lot of trouble. But we have to say, Christ, not our will, but thy will. Sometimes we don't let people know us completely because we are afraid they will discover something about us that they won't like. But I want to tell you this as I close. God already knows everything about you. And there's a scripture that says, even the number of hairs on your head. That's a wonderful God. That's an all-knowing God. That's a God that's everywhere at the same time and has all power in his hand. I pray that the lesson tonight blessed you. If there's any comments, any prayer requests, anything someone like to say, or they want to pray, or they want to do something else, if you want to do it, you could press the button on your phone. If not, I'm going to open a mic for Miss Elyria Mackey, and she's going to bless us with a song. And after that, we'll do the prayer and a benediction if there's no other comments, concerns, prayer requests needed. So, Miss Elyria, right now your mic is open and you could do your thing that God has given you to do.
I'm going to do your request. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, 'cause the world is soft like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I
For the night. So I'll say good night to each and every one of you. And as this week go by, I'll be praying for our Wednesday night Bible study. And some of you know, I know individually, but I'll do it individually and collectively. And I pray that each and every one of you pray for all of us. You know, we are family. You know, we are body of Christ. You know, we one body with many members, and we meet up every Wednesday. So pray for one another. In Jesus' name, good night.